I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, first of all, I'm catching up with Darren. Now, Darren is one of the owners of RV Guard.
RV Guard, what's that?
Well, RV Guard is for inside and outside of your mobile home or caravan.
Right.
Great product.
Okay.
What it does is it actually puts this film or a coating on the outside of the motorhome or caravan, and it virtually protects it. And you know what? It is such an incredible product that they are prepared to give you with a brand new caravan or a caravan less than 12 months old. Of lifetime warranty.
Wow, that's impressive.
And for somebody like yourself or the ladies that like the glass of wine inside on a chilly night, spill a glass of red on a fabric, what's it going to look like?
A mess.
Well, RV Guard guarantees that that will wipe off straight away.
Wow.
So we're going to be talking to Darren first up. And then
that
secondly...
We're going to speak to Peter and Duncan from the Silverton Outback Camels.
Okay. And then lastly, I'm catching up with David and Martina again.
Oh, continuing on their lap.
They're doing the big lap, listeners, in their 78 series... Land Cruiser, okay, the long wheelbase Land Cruiser. So it's going to be great to catch up with them. We spoke with them a couple of weeks ago, and we want to find out where they're at now on their journey.
Very good.
Okay, and of course, listeners, as well as a great mix of music as requested by the people we interview.
Yes.
So, Lynn, what do you reckon?
On with the show.
Well, hello, listeners. Phil C here. Roman Oz is the name of the program if you just joined us. And I am with Darren McDonald, and he's one of the owners of RV Guard. How are you today, Darren?
Mate, I'm doing well, Phil. Doing well. Thank you, mate.
Fabulous. Welcome to the program. I want to just ask you a few things about this fabulous product, RV Guard, okay? Now, it's specifically designed for the RV industry. So tell us a little bit about the product. What actually is RV Guard?
Well, I guess it's a good question. It's a pretty broad question. So RV Guard is a protection system. You know, people are spending a lot of money on these caravans and RVs.
Yes.
And so the idea is obviously to protect them, enhance the resale value. And when I say protect them from tree sap and from bird and bat droppings and all the different elements that sort of degrade, I guess, the exterior of the van and the interior of the van over a period of time. And by virtue of owning a van, you're travelling, right? You're parking under trees and doing that sort of
Correct.
Stuff. So it's quite paramount to be thinking about that. And look, the other great thing is it actually makes washing your van and keeping your van looking good a lot easier, because obviously that coating is on the van at all times. So it's protecting, you know, and not to forget, you get a lifetime warranty, which is great, a nationwide lifetime warranty.
So when you say a lifetime warranty, is this would be only on a new van, obviously. You couldn't bring a tired old second-hand van in, get it RV. So how does the lifetime warranty work?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And so look, we cater for both. Obviously, for a new van, you're right. Up to 12 months old, we'll put a new lifetime warranty on that. So basically, that means anywhere around Australia,
yes.
If you think that there's a problem with your van, or it's not looking right, or it's not what you thought it should, then we've got inspection centres all around Australia to look at that and get that corrected for you. So I think there's that peace of mind all the time. And again, by virtue of travelling, that's what happens. You know, you can drop in somewhere, we can direct you. We have a centralised calling number that you can ring in and ask, and we can actually answer a lot of stuff over the phone. We also, what we do is we supply you, when you get a pack, a bunch of maintenance products.
Right.
And there's a lot of self-help there, either over the phone, or there's obviously instructions in that maintenance pack. So there's a ton of different things that you can do to look after your van, even when you're mobile. And if for some reason it's outside of your understanding, or you've got a query about something, then one of our friendly staff will obviously answer your question and help you and direct you as best as they can.
Okay. Now, RV Guard, how long has it been around?
Look, it's funny. It's well over 15 years.
Right.
And so I think that, we cut our teeth in the automotive sector, Phil, and automotive is a tough game. It's, in some ways, someone's car, someone's driving car, goes probably through more over its period of life, lifetime, I guess, than a caravan in some ways.
But, right.
So we've perfected our product. They're water-based, so they're very safe. You know, there has been over the years products that have been, let's just say, not safe to people, and sometimes can be very volatile actually to some people. So, you know, it was very important for us to bring that innovation, I guess, to the industry and keep people safe and obviously protect their vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's I guess across the board, people seem to forget sometimes, you know, you're walking in and out your van, you're sort of just living life, I guess. But,
yes.
You know, over a period of time, you don't sleep, you know, I guess the paint degrading or, you know, getting a little bit chalky or, you know, just that fade or just that stain. So, obviously, you know, it's that peace of mind where you don't have to necessarily be on guard all the time,
yes.
Going, oh my goodness, you know, there's a stain, there's stain there. You know, that's probably what we bring to the table.
Okay.
Yeah, and obviously, when you buy a van, you don't think about what the resale is going to be. You know,
no.
At that time, you're so in awe of your van and so in awe of how it looks and all the wonderful trips that you're going to have planned down the track. But, you know, at one stage, you are going to sell that van, and I think that's where also we come into play because, you know, we all know that if you bring something in, using your words, a bit sad and tired,
yes.
You know, to the dealer or if we're going to sell it privately, we aren't going to get as much money. But if
mm-hmm.
the van is looking, you know, $1 million and it doesn't have all the staining and all the fading, there's no doubt you'll get more for your van. And so that's where we come into play.
Absolutely. I mean, I do a lot of travelling myself with my own caravan. And there's been occasions where I've spoken to people with caravans and you know, you get people, they travel in a group. So there might be two or three vans in a convoy. And I was chatting to a chap there who'd applied this product to his van. And his
yes.
and his mate was with him with a brand new van, and the one with the RV guard was actually, I think it was about 3 years old. And when I
yes.
saw the RV guard, the van with the RV guard, I assumed it was a brand spanking new van. And he was
yes.
parked next to his mate, and his mate had had his van just over a year. And I said, oh, your brand new van. That was the RV guard one.
Yep,
oh, no,
yep.
I've had it for about 3 years. And I thought, geez, mate, you took it nowhere. It looks like it's just come straight out of the showroom.
That's right, straight out of the garage, yeah.
And I
yeah,
said to his yeah. mate, what about you? That looks like a current model. He said, well, it's just over a year old. And I said, but, you've done a lot of work with yours. And he went, not really. We've travelled together. He said, I wish to God
yeah,
I'd got
wow.
this. I wished
yep.
I'd put this on my van. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a case of one guy just being really, really diligent. I mean, how do you go about maintaining? Like you said, you've got to wash the van. You can't just put this on and then forget it. You've got to maintain.
You
if you're out in the middle of nowhere, yep. like how do you do the regular maintenance for it if there's no water around?
That's actually a really good point.
Yep.
Yep. Because actually, you're right. I mean, in a lot of cases, you know, a lot of caravan places don't want you pulling out your buckets and your sponges and your hose, you know,
yes.
and doing a full-on wash down. And so, actually, you touched on a good point. You know, part of what we do with our maintenance pack is we have a waterless wash. We do have a shampoo in there, but we do have a waterless wash. And so that's perfect for, in fact, it's super quick, it's really effectively pinching another terminology, but you know, spray and wipe essentially.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And you can just simply spray the outside of your van. And look, you could get around a van, you know, in 15-20 minutes with a bit of a clean.
Okay.
And the thing will sparkle. It,
yes.
it looks brand new again. I mean, you know, periodically, I guess if you get the opportunity, it's good to give it a good wash anyway.
Yes.
And
it,
you know, in certain towns, they have those different car washes that allow you to do that.
Yep.
But it's really trying to make life a little bit easier, too,
okay.
you know, because in the day it is a big exercise washing your car, dirty car,
yeah, absolutely,
let alone a dirty van.
Yes.
You're right. We try and make life easy, and obviously having that coating allows for your van to, you know, to keep cleaner for longer,
mm-hmm.
which is also a nice thing. You know, we don't go away to clean, do we? We
no.
go away and travel and, you know, tip a few cans and enjoy the sights, you
yes.
know, so... yeah, absolutely.
So in relation to your lifetime warranty, how does that happen? Do they have to have the paint protection inspected once a year when they go to get their van serviced or whatever? How do you know if they've really done the right thing by their van in
yeah,
relation
look,
to
look,
your warranty? You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, in most cases, just a 12-month inspection will carry you over. And ultimately, we can tell, obviously, if someone's looked after their van, and sometimes it's just in the presentation of the van. But,
yep.
You know, we've got a really streamlined process. We explain everything in the warranty, so we make it really simple. In layman's terms, there's
yep.
none of this, you know, he said, she said. It's really a basic you know, program to follow, and it's very simple. Just ultimately, you just want to maintain your your van as best as you can.
Yes.
Obviously, there's times where things happen, and so that's probably the other important thing is that if there is a problem, let's have a look at it. You know, come up, let us know what it is.
Yes.
We've got people that can inspect it. We have a national manager that looks after all this stuff, and the way that we play it is, you know, it's best just to get the thing done and get the people back on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to push and shove and making it hard for people to sort of make a claim if they need to. You know, if they've got a genuine concern, we'll just get onto it and fix it.
Fantastic. And is that the same with the internal? Because you do internal don't you?
It is, absolutely. It is. So, you know, it's a total protection system. So inside, outside, you know, people, you know, in fact, interior is an interesting one because, you know, we're there, we might have a wine, you know, you tip a wine. You know, I've had young kids over the years that, you know, like to push a banana in behind the seat, and, you know, or pop the popper and, you know, the juice flies everywhere. Yep. And so, you know, it happens. And so the great thing is with our interior protection care, it is makes life so much easier to clean up.
Okay.
You can just dab those stains. And look, if for some reason it doesn't, you know, clean up and repair up, as we've said, again, that's the peace of mind of having RV Guard. I mean, we've been the industry leader, and I hate saying that because it sounds a bit like we're pumping our own tires.
Yes.
But we've come into this with a really clear objective, and that is to make things simple for people, to deliver good value, quality product. We were the first to offer a lifetime warranty. We were the first to offer a ceramic coat, which is a next level cover that we now do. We were the first to bring in a water-based product because, you know, from our position, if you're not offering all those things, then you're not offering value. And I think you've got to stand behind and say, look, we're going to back what we're saying we're going to do. And I think, you know, like I say, we started in the car game many, many years ago. In fact, our parent company is well over 30 years old.
So, wow, okay.
You know, we've pioneered in some ways, you know, that space.
And yes.
So we're very confident with what we offer, Phil, which I think, you know, you and I aren't spring chickens anymore, and I think, you know, as you get a bit older,
yes,
you try and sort through the people that sort of say things and maybe they don't back what they say, and it becomes more and more important to you that, you know, people just are honest and straight and just do as they say they're going to do and
absolutely
offer good value.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yep.
Well, mate, I honestly couldn't imagine, because as you said right at the start of the conversation, the cost of buying a brand new caravan today, because they've got absolutely everything in them that opens and shuts. So it's like a home on wheels, and,
sure,
you know, you wouldn't have your house, you know, with no insurance. So in relation to your motorhome or to your caravan, you know, your average caravan's anywhere from $60,000 upwards. I mean, you want to get a really nice one. You're looking at $80,000, $90,000, and $100,000 and more. So for a small cost to me that's going to add this value to your caravan or your motorhome, it's got to be the smart thing to do, because you're right, at some point you're going to change, you're going to upgrade, you're going to downsize, and if it looks as good as the day you pulled it out of the yard, it doesn't matter if it's 5 years old and it's done, you know, 100,000 k's, it's still going to bring you a good resale, which is a huge factor that people should be looking at when they're spending $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 on a caravan. So it's a very small investment.
It's a bit of a no-brainer.
As a no-brainer, it is a very, very small investment for such peace of mind. And the fact that you're offering a lifetime warranty, to me, mate, that makes it absolutely brilliant. So Darren, the next time I get myself a caravan, mate, when I upgrade the one I've got, I think I'm going
to... You know who to call.
I know who to call, Darren, and and we'll road test it for you out in the track.
look, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And I think also, just on that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that obviously have had their vans protected with RV Guard, and I think we get so many great reviews, and that story that you told,
resonates
with us because we get that a lot. We actually, you know, Peter, one of our main manager in RV Guard, in fact, runs really RV Guard on a day-to-day basis, is littered with those emails, and I love it. You know, we both read them. We it's really nice to hear people saying that's exactly what we purchased something with the expectation of this, and that's what we've got, and thank you.
Fantastic. All right, mate. Well, I'm going to wind this up now. Have you got any favourite Aussie bands or songs? I want to play you a song straight after this.
Ooh. I'll tell you what I do. I'm a bit of a Cole Chisel fan, and I do like Bow River.
Bow River, mate. What an incredible song.
Good, oldie but a goodie.
Good choice, my friend Cole Chisel, and they're still rocking. They're still rocking. Jimmy's
they
got
sure
a brand
are.
New album out, and his brother yeah, John yeah. Swan, he brought a new one out a couple of weeks ago. So good on you, mate. Stick around, listeners, for Bow River by Cole Chisel. We'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after that. Thanks a lot, Darren.
Thanks, Phil. See ya.
Listen out to the wind, babe, and listen out to the rain. You know I feel that water licking at my feet again. And I don't want to see this town no more, wasting my days on a factory floor. First thing you know, I'll be back in Bow River. The first thing you know, I will be back in Bow River. The first thing you know, I'll be back in Bow River. Oh, the first thing you know, I'll be back in Bow River again. So anytime you want, babe, you can come around. But only 6 days separates me from the red top, and I've been walking hard, clap out the day. The money I save would buy my youth again. I'm good for the heat, babe, and a tropical rain, and a place where the new man putting on the door. I'm back in Bow River, just didn't wanna be.
Cold Chisel. Bow River, what a great song. What a great way to start the program. And that, of course, was Darren from RV Guard. And now, listeners, we're going to be chatting with Peter and Duncan from the Silverton Outback Camels.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here in Silverton with Peter and Duncan. Camels, okay? They're the Silverton Outback Camels. How are you, Duncan?
Very good, Phil.
Thank you so much for taking the time, my friend. It's a pleasure for us to be here. You've got a great establishment out here. Tell us a bit about Silverton Outback Camels.
Silverton Outback Camels was established in 2018.
Right.
The idea was born in conjunction with the original Silverton Camel Farm.
Okay.
When Peter and myself moved out here and bought our property, we ended up with a couple of camels. And through learning how to handle the camels and having Harold Kennard from the original farm show us the ropes, so to speak, the idea was born for us to carry on the tradition of running camels in Silverton.
Okay.
And Harold planted that seed and we ran with it. And due to some good fortune and some hard work, we've managed to get ourselves up and running, and we have a fleet of 9 camels now.
Right.
We run 6 camels at present. We can take up to 12 people in a single trek.
Okay.
We do overnight tours.
Okay, yep.
And our sunset rides are very popular. During school holidays, we run short rides, half an hour rides and 1 hour rides. But we also do those pretty much 11 months of the year.
Wow, okay. So what does it take to be a good camel, do you think? Is it years of working a camel? Or do you obviously you just can't go out and lasso a wild one? I mean,
well, you almost can, but we don't have that luxury. The dog fence keeps the camels on the western side now.
Yes.
However, people will tell you they can break a camel in 6 to 8 weeks and have it ready to work.
Yes.
Peter and myself, being new to the game, took our time, and we spent 2 years preparing for our initial launch. One or two of those camels took 2 years of work and building a relationship.
Yep.
But we understand the camels, and the camels understand us. It's not like we've just gone and got a camel and said, righto, let's chuck it in and off we go.
And throw a saddle on it and off you go. So the camels are all obviously used to having people on them. You guys know how to deal with them. There's no worries for anybody. You can be a total, you know, non-rider to be able to jump on one of the camels.
And, indeed, yep, yep. Phil, we've had, I think our record was a 92-year-old senior citizen.
Okay.
She was a little hesitant at first and almost gave in, but with a bit of persistence, we got her on the camel and up and going for a one-hour ride through town. I've had a 3-year-old child ride our lead camel for a half an hour ride by herself while her parents stayed back here at our place.
Amazing.
So I said to them, can she hang on? And they said yes, and off we went.
So from 3 to 93 or 92?
Yep. No age limit.
No age limit at all.
No age limit, no height limit. We try to avoid putting too much of a load on our camels. Camels can carry a bit of weight, but there is a safety factor built into that. If anybody has any concerns, if they are too heavy, then they generally tend to ask that question on the phone when they're booking.
Right.
And we haven't had to turn anyone away to date rocking up and saying, geez, mate,
you're too big.
The camel's already crying.
Okay. I like it, Duncan. So with your overnight tours where you camp out, do you take the gear out there with you on the camels, or is that all set up for them?
Again, safety's paramount, so we take a vehicle with us. You never know what can happen when you're out camping in the outback, whether it's a brown snake or an accident. We haven't had an accident to date, I might add, but we have a vehicle present at all times when we're camping. We can take the majority of the supplies out on the camel. We can tie the swags, the water bottles, the camp oven and all the gear on. And as the fleet grows, you know, obviously we can carry more and more. But we do take a vehicle out with a few things also. And, you know, in that case, if something were to happen, then we're not saddling up a camel and getting somebody on a camel and having to mobilise them like that. We can chuck them in a car. If they were bitten by a snake, run them straight into Broken Hill.
Okay, yep. So as a lady, Peter, how do you feel other ladies would like riding a camel? Do you get a lot of ladies out here with camels?
Yeah. I don't think it's a problem. And a lot of people have come out here and said it's better than riding a horse. So. Okay. That's a positive thing for us. And I guess the thing that's a little bit scary for anyone is the getting up and getting down on
getting
the camel.
Getting up and getting down,
but,
yeah.
But once they've done it the first time, they're pretty good.
Yeah. Is that the only time you really have to hang on, do you think, Duncan? Because they kind of stand up and they lean forward, don't they, as they're standing up? And
we recommend everybody hang on at all times. Yeah. And if I'm going through terrain where, you know, the camel might be heading downhill or likely to slip on a rock, I do remind everybody to hang on.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, plenty of people are sitting there
taking photos,
drinking out of their water bottle or taking photos on their phone.
Yes.
And the camels are good camels.
Yes, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, the camels know the drill. They've worked... Look, I could almost just walk out the gate and tell the camels, do a sunset tour, and I'll wait here and open the gate when you return. They know the route that well.
Wow, yep. Okay. Fantastic. So apart from the camels, and I'll ask this one of Peter, now you've got like a little bit of a friendship farm going on here, haven't you, for the kids?
Yes.
So what kind of animals have you got out there for the kids to be able to pet and play with?
Well, as soon as you rock up here, generally Toto the emu will greet you, meet and greet you.
Right.
Sometimes the little goat Marble will greet you. We've got a three-legged lamb.
Right.
Called Archie. We've got two deer. Right. Would you say deers, Duncan? Two deer?
I say deer.
Two deer?
Yes, deer.
Are they two deer? Yes, deer.
Vixen and Blitzen.
Whatever makes you happy,
Xander's little helpers.
Okay.
We have a couple of dogs, Dingo Cross.
Yes.
We have two little ponies, two donkeys, a couple of pet sheep and a couple of alpacas. And chooks, ducks and geese, and soon to be peacocks.
Wow.
Peahens.
Okay, so a petting zoo as well.
A petting zoo, yeah.
Yeah, and a little kitten there, cat,
yes,
sitting on your lap.
Cats, yeah.
Yes, so you obviously love your animals as well,
yes,
not just goats.
That's right.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about your cottages. You've got, a cabin. You've got a cabin at the moment.
At the moment we have one. It's
one
a fully
cabin.
Self-contained, it's a split level cottage. So there is a below ground room,
right,
which is nice and peaceful, warm in winter, cool mm-hmm. in summer. It's fully self-contained. There's a queen size bed, a double bed, two single beds, so it will sleep six in comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Laundry facilities, aircon, reverse cycle. It's very well received and gets some good feedback.
Right.
It's available almost every day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to take a few bookings via Airbnb.
Yes.
And obviously during the busy periods or where there's events and
yes.
holidays, it's almost booked out.
Right.
But you can view that online. If you're looking on Airbnb and you type in Silverton, you'll find us.
Okay.
Or you'll find us on Facebook or mm-hmm. on our webpage.
Under Warragul Country Cottage.
Warragul Country Cottage.
Yep.
All right, there you go, listeners. Warragul Country Cottage. If you are interested in staying out there with... Peter and Duncan. Now, you're saying you're also going to build another one of those for the future and maybe some powered caravan sites.
Yes, we're definitely going to build some sites for campers with vans. And I do plan on building a wood-fired donkey water heater.
A wood-fired donkey heater. What does that mean?
It's basically... a donkey or a rocket. Have you seen them? The cold water goes in the bottom, the hot water goes up the top, and it's up to you to stoke the fire and get the water to your own temperature.
Okay, I was thinking a donkey's going to walk around and create power and heat.
We can manage that too if you like.
Okay.
When I first heard it, that's what I thought.
I'm thinking a donkey heater. I've not heard about the donkey heater. Well, that's great. Now, you're also telling us that you're going to have your donkeys at this Monday festival, the bash.
Not so, the donkeys, the camels, actually.
The camels.
Yeah, they're going to be the camels, not the donkeys.
Too many animals to talk about.
Too many animals, yes.
Yep, we do plan on taking the camels to the Monday bash. Camels are obviously at the Birdsville Big Red Bash.
Yes.
And we have been speaking to the organisers about taking our camels out, and the camels will be available. We'll be on site for the full 3 days. And we'll probably run short rides.
Short rides
There'll
of
be thousands of
minutes?
People. So, a short ride will probably take about 5 to 10 minutes at the event.
All right.
But for $10 for a child and $15 for an adult, and your chance to get a photo on a camel out amongst the red sand of the Monday Plains, You might even be lucky enough to have Paul Kelly or Kate Sobrano or somebody like that riding along with you.
Well, you never know. I mean, they are two of the acts that's going to be out there, aren't they? Paul Kelly and Kate Sobrano and so many others to mention. I could be here all day just talking about that one. So what about you, Lynn? You've been sitting there. You're a little bit quiet. No. Anything you'd want to touch on?
No, nothing at all, Phil. It all sounds very exciting. Well, I've had my share of camel rides in the past.
Well, Lynn has actually been on a camel, so it's fair to say that she's a more experienced camel rider than me.
So what you're saying is you'll jump on one, Phil, when you're out there?
Definitely. I will have my photograph on one of your camels when we are out there, and that's guaranteed. All right, Peter, well, thank you so much for your time. And Duncan, absolutely. So if you are interested in visiting Peter and Duncan at the Silverton Camels, Outback Camels, in fact, why not check them out? Their website is silvertonoutbackcamels.com.au. Oh, hey, I'm going to give you a number, 0428-602-664. Now, I've got to ask a song of you, Duncan, okay? Who's your favourite Australian singer?
Well, one of my favourites is Slim Dusty.
Slim Dusty, look, great Australian singer.
I love to have a beer with Duncan. I love to have a beer with Duncan. We drink in moderation, and we never, ever, ever get rolling drunk. We drink at the town and country, where the atmosphere is great. I love to have a beer with Duncan, 'cause Duncan's me mate. Yeah, I love to have a beer with Colin. I love to have a beer with Colin. We drink in moderation, and it doesn't really matter if he brings his doll. We drink at the town and country, where the atmosphere is great. I love to have a beer with Colin, 'cause Colin's me mate. I love to have a beer with Kevin. Oh, I love to have a beer with Kev. We drink in moderation, and he drives me home in his big old ship. We drink at the town and country, where the atmosphere is great. I love to have a beer with Kevin, 'cause Kevin's me mate. I love to have a beer with Patrick. I love to have a beer with Pat. We drink in moderation, and it wouldn't really matter if the beer was flat. We drink at the town and country, where the atmosphere is great. I love to have a beer with Patrick, 'cause Patrick's me mate. Change key. I love to have a beer with Robert. I love to have a beer with Bob. We drink in moderation, just one more and back on the job. We drink at the town and country, where the atmosphere is great. I love to have a beer with Robert, 'cause Robert's me mate. I love to have a beer with Duncan. Oh, I love to have a beer with Duncan. We drink in moderation, and we never, ever, ever get rolling drunk. We drink at the town and country, where the atmosphere is great. I love to have a beer with Duncan, 'cause Duncan's me mate. I love to have a beer with Duncan, 'cause Duncan's me mate.
One more.
Hey, there you go, Duncan. What an appropriate song. You said your favourite singer was Slim Dusty, and we just played that one for you. There you go, Duncan. Going out to Duncan from Silverton Outback Camels. With overseas travel in lockdown, there's no better time to see what's offer in your own backyard. And if you want to do it in style, with all the bells and whistles, then 7th Street Caravans, located at 2212 Pacific Highway, Heatherbrae, is where the journey begins. Check out their range, Paramount, Silver Valley, Road Trip and Option RV. With dozens of layouts, there's something for everyone's needs. 7th Street also has a large range of pre-loved vans. They won't be beaten on price, so grab yourself a knockout deal today. Phone Aidan and the team on 4987 5288 or check out the website 7thstreetcaravans.com.au.
Well, listeners, this is Phil C and you're on Roaming Oz. And you do remember a couple of weeks ago I introduced a lovely couple, David and Martina, that are doing the big lap with no end date. Well, I've managed to catch up with them again and they are going to tell us what they've been doing over the last couple of weeks. Now, how are you both going, guys?
Fantastic, Phil. Great to hear from you.
Mate, it's great to catch up with you, and it's so good to see you both still travelling. Martina, you haven't hit him over the head with one of those frying pans yet, have you?
Not yet, but very close.
Very close. Okay, all righty. Now, tell us, guys, what have you been doing? The last time we spoke, you were mentioning you had the family property in the Blue and the Snowy Mountains, and you were sort of heading to the Blue Mountains from there. So, what have you covered in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a jump, but from the property in the Snowy Mountains, we actually managed to get the Anzac Day dawn service, actually, in Berrydale, just south of Cooma there. That was fantastic.
Right.
Nice and brisk early morning start. It was about -3 degrees from memory, so wow. It was a very early one. But from there on, we moved on to the Blue Mountains and then covered the beautiful towns, you know, from Springwood, Lawson. Did a couple of days in Katoomba, which was fantastic. There was a free camp spot that we actually stayed in called Blackheath. It's a little bit out of Blackheath, only about 2 or 3 kilometres down the hill.
Yes.
But it's a free campsite, and it was just beautiful. And it was a very central location. You know, you could go right out of Blackheath back towards Katoomba and left towards Mount Victoria from there. So we sort of covered a lot of those areas. Did a lot of the hikes and the Grand Canyon hike and a lot of the waterfalls. We actually shattered the walk that we really wanted to do was called that was shut. There was a walk that was actually along the middle in the Blue Mountains. You have the range and there's actually a walking track cut right into the middle of the cliff face.
Right.
The National Pass, that's what it was called. And it was closed. We were shattered. That was the one we were really, really looking forward to.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend it to any of you listeners if they're out there. It's you're certainly on the edge of the cliff face if you're on the edge of the world really there. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, now, you did mention to me, though, when you were in the Katoomba area, you had like 3 or 4 days of really bad weather. You had a lot of rain.
Yeah,
so one of the things I wanted to ask you before we leave Katoomba is that you actually live in this vehicle. You've created this vehicle to travel Australia, do the big lap, but it's pretty confined in there with what you've got inside there. So how do you cope for three days in the rain? You can't just sort of get out of it, can you?
No, it's tough. It is, it is, especially Martina, sort of, we found that a lot of things got damp.
Yes.
Like, it actually was starting to get nervous. I think it was our first test for us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because everything was damp and, everything was wet as well and just didn't stop raining for 3 days.
No.
So I was a bit nervous because, like, we couldn't hide anywhere. We just had this awning open.
Uh-huh.
But, but we actually managed, like, at the end.
Yeah,
we managed. I mean, it's a 270 awning, so we can hide under it.
Yep.
But we found that if there's a little bit of a wind, mm-hmm. and the rain gets pushed straight in. The rain gets pushed straight in from the side and whatnot. So, look, it does make it a little bit tougher, you know, on days when it is raining, especially if it's day after day raining.
Okay.
One day you can deal with it. It's fine. You know, like through the Blue Mountains, we actually started, well, Martina started looking for more indoor activities, you know.
Yes, okay. So that's a good idea, Martina. You're obviously got the brains and the outfit there, my dear. So what sort of indoor stuff did you do whilst you were in the Blue Mountains?
So actually I found this museum in Lithgow.
Right.
Like Army Museum. Uh-huh. And David, you really liked it because, like, you know, boys, they all like their guns. So so we just spent there like the whole day in the museum, and I was just waiting.
Fantastic.
She was following in tow.
following behind.
Yeah.
So she thought I would spend an hour there, and four and a half hours later we walked out.
Wow.
And I was glad because I could be somewhere like dry.
So you put up with it because you wanted to stay dry, but David was actually totally engrossed with all this army memorabilia.
Yeah,
Correct.
Fantastic place.
But look, there was a lot of places through the Blue Mountains. From, you know, we went through antique shops and museums and a couple of really nice art galleries through there. So, look, there's always something to do, whether it's raining, whether it's sunny, whether it's, you know, overcast and whatnot. You can always, I think you just have to get creative with it. And Martinez certainly did this time with the Blue Mountains and whatever. So,
So then where did you head to after the Blue Mountains?
Well, from the Blue Mountains, we sort of did a bit of a jump. We've got a couple of friends that live in the Hunter Valley there.
Yes.
They're actually commercial hot air balloon operators. So I promised him I would drop in and say g'day to him.
Yep.
So he accommodated us on his property there in a cabin. So we finally got out of the car and had a chance to dry everything out because we had some great weather.
Yes, yep.
So out everything came, the doona, the mattress, and everything just got washed, and it was just a really good, you know, we could get into the car and everything was fresh finally.
Absolutely. So in the winery in the Hunter Valley, there would have been some wineries, so you would have went to Pagolban, no doubt.
Yeah, went to Pagolban there. Yes. Yep. So we visited a couple of wineries. There's another commercial balloon operator, so we went to see them as well because they're sort of all friends of ours. So I dropped in, and we were lucky enough that Nathan from Beyond Ballooning, bit of a business plug there for him.
Oh, that's okay.
Anybody who's travelling through the Hunter Valley.
Yep.
Nathan, a fantastic guy, a very good pilot. He treated us to a hot air balloon flight over the Hunter, which was just stunning. Yeah, we've been for a few flights in different areas in Victoria, but this one was certainly very, very memorable, very nice.
Absolutely.
I highly recommend it.
Beyond Ballooning is called, is it? And his name is Nathan.
Correct.
All right, he's had two plugs for us for free. Okay, so a little bit of time in Pagolban and around the Hunter, then from there?
Yeah, from there, look, we started heading towards back to the coast because the coastal areas are the ones we were really looking forward to, doing some swimming, you know, before you get too far north and you can't bloody swim because of the stingers and the crocodiles and the sharks and everything else that wants to kill you in the waters. So we wanted to get onto the coast. So the first stop was Seal Rocks for us.
Yes.
And that is a beautiful area, very nice campsite there.
Yeah, it's a private campsite, but it has a private beach as well where you could access only from the campsite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really, really nice. They had the hot showers there.
Yeah, hot showers, everything you get with the caravan park. It was a really beautiful lighthouse walk that you can take to have a look, and it overlooks the entire area there. Fantastic. Really beautiful spot there.
So what's the name of that one? Do you remember the name of that one, that campsite?
It's in the Seal Rocks
Treachery
Camp. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Treachery Camp. Okay. Cool.
Yes. Sounds pretty morbid, but yes, Treachery Camp.
Yep.
So from there, we sort of headed north again. Did a little bit of a jump. Stayed in a quirky little small town called Coopernook. A free hotel stay there. You know, if you
absolutely
buy a meal and have a beverage at the bar, you can stay. Stay for free.
Yes, that's right on the Manning River. That's a very nice little spot, that one.
It is, and from what I've heard, very, very good fishing there too.
Yep.
You know, there was some flooding or something recently, so a lot of things were, you know, trees falling over, and they're still doing, you know, a fair bit of cleanup and whatnot.
That was barbecue.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then from there, where do we go? From there, we moved on to a place called Point Plummer.
Yes.
Plummer Campground, which is just south of Crescent Head.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that one was another beautiful campsite. You know, these are all the state booked campsites. So you just jump on the website and you can pre-book there. Only cold showers, but very clean. The camp manager, sort of the ranger there, he was always on site, so everything was nice and clean. Cold showers, but yeah, beautiful, beautiful spot. Very good for any surfers out there. If there's anybody looking for a very good surf spot,
yep.
We've seen many dolphins as well.
Yeah.
We had some footage with the drone.
Yeah.
Beautiful there. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, they were following the surfers and whatnot, so that was a really, really nice spot we really enjoyed.
Okay.
So then moving north from there,
yep.
We went through Kempsey. Mm-hmm. And that was a funny one, actually, just before Kempsey, as we're driving through.
I asked Martino, because we didn't have any music on for about half an hour, and I said, what do you want to listen to, you know? And Martina's only been in Australia 2.5 years. She's from Slovakia there. So I said, what do you want to listen to? And she said, put a bit of Slim Dusty on. I said, oh, okay. So I chucked a bit of Slim Dusty on, look back up at the road, and there's a sign saying, turn left to the Slim Dusty
Slim
Museum.
Slim Dusty Centre, yeah.
What are the chances, you know? Yep. Wow. Yep.
Did you actually call in there or no?
We did, indeed. I'm actually a fan. I mean, I'm only in my late 30s, and I really enjoy listening to Slim Dusty. So we certainly called in and had a look through it, and yep. Yeah, we both really enjoyed it.
It's a brilliant place. That's going to be coming up. I actually did an interview with the people that run that place, and that'll be coming up in some upcoming programs. But it is definitely well worth looking at if you want to find out all about Slim Dusty at the museum there, or the Slim Dusty Centre, they call it, that's for sure. So we're at Kempsey.
Very good history. Yeah, we got some very good history there, you know, and stuff I didn't know about Slim Dusty. So, yeah, it was very good to – I mean, I'm a history buff myself. I love sort of learning about the history. So that was – it was really good and really educational.
Okay. So how far did you get from there then? You're still in New South Wales, so...
Yeah, we're still in New South Wales. So we found this because Martina's always Googling and on Wikicamps and having a look at sort of what's ahead of us. And we found the Trial Bay Jail, actually.
The jail, yeah. Magnificent place.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, beautiful, beautiful scenery there. You can overlook both ways. You know, sort of 360 degree views. The old jail is fantastic to walk through as well.
Yes.
And there's a beautiful campground underneath, isn't there?
Yeah. Expensive, but they sell
it
very beautiful.
Yeah, it was a pricier campground. You know, compared to what we were used to paying, sort of $6 to $10 here and there.
Yep.
I think it was about $30 to camp there, but. And there was a ghost story, I think, about
I think
that camp as well.
Haunted or something.
Yeah, it's haunted. Yeah, not hunted, haunted.
Haunted.
Haunted. Interesting. Look, it is a fantastic place, though. I've been there myself on numerous occasions, and it's definitely would recommend that for anybody going through that area, that's for sure.
Yes, certainly.
Mate, we're going to have to wind this up here, and we're going to continue with this because you're doing this huge lap of Australia, and I just can't wait until you get to places like Fraser and Airlie, and I know you're going all the way up to Weeper, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. So where do you think you're going to be just for the next time we catch up? So from Trial Bay, where do you think you're going to get to in the next couple of weeks?
Well, we're going to be heading through, what are we doing? Byron Bay, actually. We're going to be heading through Byron Bay. We have a couple of family friends to stay with, so we'll have a look around there. That'll be a good spot to, you know, do all our washing and get everything back to order and
go to brewery as well.
Yes, yes. Martina's looking forward to the Byron Bay Brewery. She
okay.
She had a taste of the Byron Bay Lager and really enjoyed it. So that'll be another visit where we're going to be
calling in there.
A look at.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right.
But then the next big one actually will be one of my top bucket lists is Fraser Island.
Fraser.
Cannot wait to get up to Fraser Island.
All right. Well, what we're going to do, David, Martina, I'm going to just stop it there. I'm going to keep the people in suspense. So the next time we catch up with you is going to be at Byron Bay. Hopefully you're not going to be drinking too much of the lager and then on to Fraser Island.
No, we have a budget to stay within, so no.
Okay. All right, David, Martina, I'm going to play an Aussie song, guys. What can I play for you?
Well, we sort of thought about which song to select there, but I think another fitting song is going to be Sounds of Them. This is Australia.
Ganga Jang. Sounds of Them. All right, David Martina, thank you so much for chatting with us. And we look forward to catching up with you guys in Byron Bay.
Thanks again, Phil. Thank you very much to your listeners as well.
Okay. Listen
there. Look forward to catching up again.
Absolutely. Stick around, listeners. We're going to play that Sounds of Then by Ganga Jang, and make sure you're with us in a couple of weeks when we catch up with David and Martina in Byron Bay.
from the backing tape, a certain texture, that certain smell, the lying sweat on familiar sheets, in brief and neat, your own finance beds, in a room, move silent, hearty face, a certain texture, that certain smell, brings home the heavy day, brings home the nighttime swell. Out on the patio we sit, and the humidity we breathe. We watch the lightning crack over cane fields, and laugh and think, this is Australia. The block is awkward, it faces west, long diagonals and sloping too. And in the distance, through the heat haze, in convoys of silence, the cattle graze. A certain texture, that certain beat, brings forth the nighttime heat. Cow! Out on the patio we sit, and the humidity we breathe. We watch the lightning crack over cane fields, laugh and think that this is Australia.
There you go, listeners. That was Ganga Jang, Sounds of Then, a special request for David and Martina, our friends that are doing the Big Lap. And we're going to catch up with them in a couple of weeks' time. And I believe they're going to be in Byron Bay at the brewery, Lynn. And they're also going to be going to Fraser Island.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Oh, listen, I'm so jealous. I'd love to be at Fraser Island, I've got to tell you. We're actually going to be in Silverton next week. Now, we've only just touched on Silverton. We spoke to Peter and Duncan from the Silverton Outback Camels. And next week's program, we're going to be talking to Peter and Patsy. Now, they are the owners of the historic Silverton Hotel.
That's correct, yes.
Where they made so many fantastic Australian movies. We're going to be talking to John Dynan, or Dino to his mates. And he's one of the local artists, yes, in Silverton.
Yep, Emu Man too.
The Emu Man, yes.
Because emus.
A lot of his paintings are all sort of emu-based, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And then lastly on the program, we're going to be chatting with Adrian from the Mad Max Museum. Now, Adrian is such a passionate man about the Mad Max Museum.
Very much so, yes.
incredible story that goes along with Adrian. I mean, he's an English gentleman. And
moved over to Australia to Silverton.
Absolutely. He saw the movie Mad Max in a movie theatre in England, and he just wanted to see what it was like to be in Australia, in Silverton, and where they filmed a lot of that movie. So he came to Australia, and then he thought, you know what, I love it here, I'm going to stay. And he stayed in Silverton and set up the Mad Max Museum.
Yes.
So we're going to be chatting with him next week.
That sounds good.
I think it's going to be an excellent program. But before we do any of that, Lynn, you're going to just sort of tell us a little bit about the history of Silverton to prepare our listeners for next week's program.
Now, for those of you that don't know where Silverton is, it's 1,172 kilometres west of Sydney, 539 kilometres northeast of Adelaide, and 26 kilometres northwest of Broken Hill. Now, the first Europeans to visit the area was the then Surveyor General of New South Wales, Major Thomas Mitchell, back in 1841. 3 years later, in 1844, the explorer Charles Sturt saw and named the Barrier Range while searching for an inland sea. The range was so named as it was a barrier to his progress north. Burke and Wills also passed through the area back in 1860, setting up a base camp at nearby Menindee. Pastoralists first began settling in the area in the 1850s with the main trade route to the area along the Darling River. Prospectors also began working back in 1867 when a local station hand claimed to have found gold there. It was later discovered that his plan was merely a pretext for stealing a horse. Some years later, in 1875, two men drilling a well on a station south of the town hit a load of silver. Silverton was recognised as a town on 17th of September 1880, and Richard O'Connell was sent in charge of the police. Among his other duties was acting clerk of petty sessions, mining register and warden's clerk. In October 1886, the Silverton Municipal Council was formed and held its inaugural meeting in January 1887 in the Silverton Municipal Chambers, which still exist. The town's population quickly increased, reaching a peak around 3,000 in the 1890s, and the Silverton Tramway was opened in 1888, connecting the town to South Australia. Many of the houses built were of simple iron and canvas construction. The rapid depletion of the high-grade ore around Silverton, along with the discovery of an even richer silver-lead-zinc ore body in nearby Broken Hill, led to a sudden decline in Silverton's population, with many of those leaving, taking their homes with them.
Interesting, Lynn. And you said there was 3,000 people there.
Yes, but not now.
Not now. Well, I think the total population of Silverton is 33.
Yes, I think I've read that somewhere too.
And I don't think that includes the two famous donkeys that are always wandering up and down the main street.
No, they're good for a photo shoot.
They absolutely are. So for anybody who's going to be travelling through Silverton, don't forget to call into that famous Silverton Hotel. And if you're lucky, you might get a greeting by a couple of those famous donkeys. Yes. Look, listeners, it's going to be a fantastic program next week. And don't forget, for anybody that's got those VIP RV Guard cards, now we are going to be starting that, I think it's after this program.
Oh, how exciting. Yes. Someone's going to be a lucky winner.
Somebody is going to win a year's supply of car wash. And I've got to tell you, that RV Guard stuff really does do the trick. You don't have to work up a sweat to get the muck off your car.
Oh, well, that's good. Or your van.
Or your van. Absolutely fantastic.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.